Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today's date is September 28th, 2006. Today's session is entitled Ways to Build Up One Another, presented by Dale Jampgard, number 2006-03. Let's listen in.
And we'll just take a few minutes to let you experience that. So close your eyes and turn to someone near you and just share some of the things that you saw. What came to your mind? Groups of two or three, whatever is convenient. I know that you didn't begin to share all the needs you saw. But you also probably realized that you have different eyes. Even among two or three of you, you saw different things. And as others mentioned things, you thought, oh yeah, I didn't see that, but yeah, you're right. So we do need help seeing. Now, the other thing you're probably aware of is that you see far more needs than you can address. Yes. That the needs are multitude. And so, what comes next? In a sanctuary for chimpanzees that were used in research, a woman had been caring for a chimpanzee, seeing the chimp daily, feeding and so forth, and had developed a relationship, kind of some language, you know, signals and so forth. And this woman then was pregnant, and she was very excited about having a baby and communicated that to the chimpanzee. And Then one day she came in and she had had a miscarriage. And she communicates to the chimpanzee, you know, baby is dead. And the chimpanzee cries. That's a gift of empathy. And that is an important signal for you to be in touch with empathy. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and Jesus wept. And notice a word you may not have even remembered. Samaritan, when traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. So the next step is to kind of check in yourself. What needs is it for which I feel empathy, pity, concern, compassion? And so just take a moment now, kind of go back over that plethora of needs and kind of say, what grabs me? What is it that I really have this compassion for? And just see what comes to you. Yourself narrow down to one concern that you have, one need that really is a concern for you. Now, there are two basic ways to approach a concern. To address a concern. There is the way of renewal, healing, fixing, taking what is broken and putting it together. And then there's the way of creation, innovation, new vision. And so both are valid aspects, and it's good to look at both kinds of things. I was just in a discussion of our healthcare system in this country. We've tried many different forms, and we're saying none of them seem to be working. What can we create anew? Or is it about trying to fix the systems that aren't working? So what I would like you to do, I'm going to put on some more music, is think about the issue that you are concerned about and let ideas come to you as to way to fix. You can feed a man or you can teach him to fish. Think about creative ways. It's a real challenge to be creative. Just because a person's hungry, the answer is not necessarily to feed them. Certainly that's a part of it, but how do we deal with the systems that have created that lack of food for them? And so I'd like to have you reflect on that and see what comes to you. What are some things that could be done? And as you think of things that could be done, then I would like to have you think of what could I do. So let me put the music on. Let me do this first. Let's pass these out so everyone has one. Anyone need pencils? Pencils are on. Okay. Did I miss anyone?
Can I clarify something? Are we supposed to be thinking of something that we have ourselves or a problem we see that we feel we should be helping with?
Okay, I'll go over that again.
Oh, okay.
You saw a lot of problems, but I'm asking you, and then I've asked you to kind of get a feel for what do you have a feeling for? What do you feel some empathy for? Some compassion for. So I hope you've narrowed down, say, to one kind of issue. Now I'd like to have you do this process of saying, what possibly could be done about that need, that problem? And what are some options? And then just kind of let it feel to you, well, let's see, I could do this. And where I would like you to come up with is something pretty specific. You know, I could love people better. Where does that get you? Okay. If it's too broad, it's not going to make much difference for you. So be as specific. I could do this. I could make some phone calls. I could go here. I could do this. Try to bring it down to something pretty specific that you could potentially do about the issue that you're concerned with. Okay, let yourself go inside and we'll... To say one more thing around this, and I'm sorry I didn't get it in. I really like St. Francis where he says, make me an instrument of. Jesus says, know that the kingdom of God is at hand, God is at work. How can you be an instrument? So think in terms of that. Whatever you do is a part of the instrument in God's work. God will use it and magnify it. So say, how can I be an instrument to give God a chance to get in here and get to work? And so have that sense about what you might do. take a few moments to write on the slip of paper, put it in a positive way, I will do this. Notice I took out all the weasel clauses. I wish I could, I think I would, I would like to. Now, I hope you're feeling a little uncomfortable with what you've written. What do I mean by that? To me, Jesus calls us to a new life. It calls us beyond ourselves, beyond the comfort zone. There is this verse in Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. Do you need encouragement? You see, if someone asked me to give $20 to Lutheran World Relief, I don't need encouragement. I just need to take the time. This was said in that early church, when to just gather for Bible study and worship was to risk your life. Are we risking anything? If we aren't risking anything, we don't need encouragement. But it's when we set our vision high enough and stretch ourselves that we say, wow, what am I doing out on this limb? And how did I get myself into this? And so, I don't know why, but an example is coming to my mind. And I stood at a Synod convention meeting, and I said, the ministry of healing was such a significant portion of Jesus' ministry. How come it is so lacking in our church ministry? We seem to put very little actual attention. We're doing more now, but it's only recently that we, in some ways, I think, begin to emphasize it. So anyway, I sat down and the pastor came up to me and said, what do you want? You want us to be like Oral Roberts? I was ashamed to be a Lutheran to the extent that he spoke for the Lutheran Church. Here was a man who, yes, did it on TV and it was showy and so forth, but was that all? No. He starts a hospital a hospital that believes in the power of the healing power of faith and prayer. And not only does he build a hospital, he builds a university so he can train people so they understand that enough and can work in the hospital, because without people that believe in it, it can't happen. So he had a big vision. And so it just really hurt to feel, we could say, discount him for his particular interest and feel somehow self-righteous. So it's when we get visions, and it starts with the small steps. Whatever you came up with today is your step, it's the next step for you, and hopefully it leads to bigger and bigger visions and greater needs for encouragement. Have any of you asked anyone in your church to pray for you? Sometimes when we're ill, we do. When our life is threatened, we do. But often we have difficulty. We keep emphasizing that we ought to pray for others, but we don't ask to be prayed for ourselves. So I would like now for you to form groups of four, again with people you know less well. And once you're in those groups of four, sitting in a circle, I'll guide you from there. So let's get to those groups first. Some of you can come over here if you like. Spread out so there's some room. Spread out so you can hear each other. Why don't you join me? Okay. Any groups need a person? It would be helpful if you could. We have two groups of three over here. Do we have an extra person over here? We need one more over here for a group of four. Far right by the door. Thank you. These chairs are not easy to work with here. Now what I would like and invite you to do, to the extent that you're willing, I would like you to take turns, one at a time, sharing what it is you said you want to do, you will do. And then I would like you to have a chair in the center so that you sit in that chair and the three others in the group stand and open their palms of their hands to you and pray for you and for the intent that you have shared with them. That you somehow may be able to do that and what that may mean and kind of the hope you have for that intent. So you encourage one another in the intent that each person has had. Any questions about that? So decide who's going to go first and put a chair in the middle, or first chair the intent, and then put the chair in the middle. Or you can just stand around. Please just sit where you are. Please just sit where you are for a moment. Please just sit where you are. Close your eyes. And in conclusion, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the gathering said, Amen. It shall be so. I would invite you to come up in a circle right around the fireplace for just a few minutes. What's that? No, just sit close, move the circle in. So we can hear each other. It'll take two rows probably, but... kinds of exercises, but even after, say, a meeting at church, to stop afterwards and say, what was this about for us? A reflective moment. And so I invite you to just share thoughts about how you experienced it or what it meant or what you draw from it. Just please share with each other.
It was so wonderful to be prayed for. Over ordinary, simple, everyday things.
Yeah.
It was a warm, wonderful feeling.
And also some of us have the same problems.
Yes.
You know, not that we can solve them, but we can pray for each other.
Yeah.
We all found it very powerful to have other people lay their hands on us, and it was very personal to be prayed for at that moment. We said it was a wonderful chair to sit in.
And you talked about heart, and this was something about, you know, I mean, we can deal, or I've dealt with head, you know. Yeah, you know, we're dealing with heart, and that's important.
I don't pray out loud very often. I don't pray for people publicly. I don't think I've ever done it. So it was really touching to do it and just kind of make it up as it goes. And
yeah.
I just felt really
that it come to you.
Yeah. So it was a blessing to be able to pray directly for someone. I do always do it quietly.
Mm-hmm. I felt quite honored to be a part of another person's life, just to hear what they had to offer.
Mm-hmm. You know, these problems that we should do something about, but when you change it to I will do, that's different. And I will do.
Yes, I've done a lot of therapy and group therapy, and we start with saying, what do you want to change in your life? What do you want to stop doing, and what do you want to start doing? And we have them write down, I will stop doing this, and I will start doing this, and specific. Because all of us have said, I want to love the world more, or be a better mother, or, you know, that's meaningless in terms of change. It doesn't change anything. It's only when we start getting in our mind what we can do tomorrow or today that is different than we've been doing that we can really change life. So that was why I wanted to put it in that form.
For me to say something before others and others pray for you, it's like you are taking an oath that it may not be easy to just let it go. So to me it's like a commitment that I have made, and in my life I have to pray to God that He may be able to allow me to be able to fulfill that.
Mm-hmm.
After being in the group, I'm sure there are three people from this gathering who I will remember forever, probably, and it was a special connection. Wow. And they'll be in my prayers, and I think we'll all be in one another's prayers.
Mm-hmm. It raises your awareness of, well, not just that other person, but also their issues. And some of them were world issues, but I don't think of them as often as I maybe should, and now I am. So it was heightening that awareness level.
For me, it seemed like, you know, we have all come from different parts of the country, from different parts of the world, and yet the song and With One Voice bind us together, Lord. And through prayer, we are all one in Christ. And it doesn't matter who we are, what we look like, where we come from. There is that, I don't know what it is, it's a spiritual bond or what it is, but there is a oneness. I really felt
that. It's that Holy Spirit.
Yep, yep.
We were challenged this morning that privacy is a big problem. That little grouping is a tendency to break the privacy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But that's true, too. Mm-hmm. We mentioned in our group that in this area we're also Scandinavian, and we do. We're very private people and tend to not like to touch others, you know? And
did you touch?
We did.
Oh, you notice I didn't tell you to touch. You said just hold your palms up.
We laid on hands.
Came out of the deep roots of Norway.
But you know, that's something I think has changed in our society.
It's changing.
We changing.
Get many changing. More hugs from our grandchildren than I think we did from our children, true. And vice versa. I mean, mm-hmm. we are becoming a more touching of people. Mm-hmm. And it feels real good when you're the grandma.
I like just the physical warmth of those hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So something was being said through the hands as well as through the words. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That, we need to know that. There is that feel, but to begin to feel the connection is, I think, significant. In quotes, encouragement. Or building up one another in faith. So that prayer in this instance is about encouraging people in their mission, their vocation, their hopes, their dreams, as well as their aches and pains and illnesses. And that's why it's valid at any time. We don't have to be going to the doctor who's liable to tell us something we don't want to hear to have prayer. It needs to be a part of empowering us. And we need then, for me, I would hope our church fellowship can begin to shape itself where this can happen more easily. It can't happen in the worship service, a corporate kind of thing. We have to create other structures and ways, and small group studies and mission groups and prayer, where they combine study and prayer and personal sharing. We can't encourage one another if we have no idea what the issues are for the other person, if we haven't heard them or listened to them. So I hope we can move more in that direction.
Can I mention one thing about prayer? When there were several that were going to pray for each other for very definite things, so we've made it a point that we're going to pray. But I'm very fortunate in our church, there's 10 of us women that get together. We've been doing it for 3 years. And get together at a neighbor's house, and we pray for all the needs of the community, of the friends. I will mention these names of these people, and we've been doing it for 3 years. We pray for 2 hours at least for everyone. Now we will mention all the names that we've had here, so you will know that there will be people in our town, in our little town of Long Prairie, praying for you. Gordon, the problem she has.
I think that's wonderful. Yeah, I would ask you, do you pray for each other?
Oh, definitely. We pray for each other's needs, for sure.
You do?
I've come a long way, and you know what I've had.
Well, I know you have.
Definitely.
She's had a major illness and major recovery, so prayer has been an important part of your life.
And one of the reasons that it did, I was praying while I was still paralyzed, and I was singing praises to the Lord, and I memorized Psalm 121, and I still do that in the evening. But the nurses and all the people in the hospital heard me doing that, and they walked in, and I wasn't moving at all. They walked in and said, "What's the matter, Betty?" And I said, "My leg is moving for the first time." And they even called my husband over here to come in and take a picture. My kids were there from California, Texas, and everything, and they saw it happen. He even took pictures because I hadn't moved for that long on my left side. So I've had a major one of those things.
One of the ways I got in touch with this, again, often our groups just pray for other people. We don't tend to pray for ourselves. After all, I don't need it. I don't have a big problem or something. But I went to a full gospel men's luncheon, and they had some real in-depth Bible study. And then they said, "It's huddle time." And they stood up and in groups of three and four, they'd huddle, and one guy would say, I got this issue, will you pray for me? I've got this issue, will you pray for me? It was like, wow. It was just very natural and spontaneous. Anyway, it was just a neat modeling of people asking each other to pray for them. I wanted, something that has really spoke to me was this, make me an instrument. I think we often think of what we're doing as, what difference will my doing this make, or what difference will my doing this make? I don't know where to begin or what to do. And because the problem is so big. And so this idea, do what's next for you, take the steps that you can see, whatever it is, and trust I am an instrument of His love and care and peace and work in the world. And God can make big use of small things. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.